Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
Repeat after me, the only way that I can keep my way pure is to guard it. According to this word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Today, I will receive the word implanted, which is able to save my soul. Come on, give God praise. As you take your seats, God is worthy. Amen. I'll try again. God is worthy. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, God is worthy. All right, we got work to do. Hebrews, we have placed on this text. Now, I started the book of Hebrews in January. Should have been done with chapter 2 in February. It's April. I'm still in chapter 2. Y'all be all right. But as we begin this post-resurrection series, speaking to the media team, and Elder Orlando said, Bishop, how long do you think we'll be in this portion? I want to say, But there are some things that I want us to focus on as a body. If you look and you put verse 8 back on the screen for me of chapter 2, you have put all things in subjection under his feet. How many things? If you're not afraid to write in your Bible, I need you to underline all things. For in subjecting, that's talking to you, Veronica, all things to him, he left nothing. Y'all see that, or is that just in my Bible? He left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him. All things, and then for another underline for emphasis, I want you to underline in your Bibles, he left nothing. All things are in subjection, and just in case you're ever having one of those days where the devil trying to lie to you, just read the underlines. All things, and he left nothing. So when you think something is bigger than God, go back to verse 8. All things, and he left nothing. So we work through this chapter, spending several weeks dealing with how many of us neglect the great gift of salvation. We're back to dealing with just how superior Christ is. The writer reminds us that Jesus is greater than angels. And then he takes the pause and the action to point to a reality for us. It's a reality that I mentioned before. few weeks ago, but we see right here in verse 8, all things are under his feet. Now, as I previously said, like many things, sometimes we read too fast. And we get to verses like this, and we quickly say, amen. We get, all things are under his feet. And amen. Praise the Lord, preacher. Everything's under his feet. Praise the Lord. And then we say, as I argued before, everybody wants to make these feet our feet. I'll do it again. Everybody wants to make these feet our feet, but these ain't your feet if you're not a part of his body. So all things are not subject to your feet if you're not part of the body which got these feet. Some of you are outside of the body, so these ain't your feet, which means nothing is subject to your feet. You can yell this scripture all you want to. If you're not part of the body, these ain't your feet. But verse 5, if you put it up, is where I want to begin. Because I will spare y'all putting up the photos of these angels. For the few of y'all who don't like the angels with all the eyes. For he did not subject, verse 5, to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking. Stop. How many of you today, it's a beautiful Sunday morning, are willing to admit that you probably would have read on past that verse? I got a couple people. He did not subject to angels the world to come, because you want to get to the all things under your feet part. But there's something in this verse. If you remember everything that we taught on angels, everything that I brought up about how powerful the angels are and how strong they are, what they're able to do. And here in verse 5, he did not subject to angels the world. Wait. Subject, subjugate, or make to yield. So you mean to tell me that these big, strong, powerful angels who literally can take down entire cities, who can blind men just because they say so, who have bodies full of eyes, multiple wings. With two wings, they cover their face. With two wings, they cover their feet. With two wings, they fly. These angels, which are powerful enough to literally stand in the presence of God. Angels that Revelations tells us that single-handedly, without Jesus even interjecting, were able to defeat Satan. And in verse 5, those angels are not over the world. Y'all see that tension coming into the room? You mean to tell me the great and powerful Michael and Gabriel don't have power over the world? And it gets even worse, because you learned at the end of chapter 1 for your notes, verse 12, you will learn that angels are ministering spirits sent to render aid to those who inherit salvation. But they don't have subjugation over the world. We're told in Romans 12, Daphne, that we must be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I'd love to have an angel help me, but they don't subjugate the world. I'm told in 1 John chapter 2 that we're not to love the world, neither the things of the world, because everything that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, is not of this world. And it even goes on to say, Deacon K, that the people who love the world, the love of God is not in them. I'd love to have an angel deal with that. But they don't subjugate the world. So it would stand to reason that this strong, fearless angel should be able to stand up and do something, but why can't it? Sometimes this is the way that the doctrine of angels is taught, where we got the spooky deeps that stand on the pulpit and tell everybody to just go send an angel to do it. And we have an angel summoning conferences. And send forth the angels and open it up angelic portals. If I hear one more person talking about an angelic portal, we open it up angelic portals and we pull in levers and we open it up the angelic portals to another dimension so that the angels can come and do something about all this stuff down here. But verse 5, Elder Orlando says, he did not subject to angels the world. We got a problem here. There's some tension because either the writer of Hebrews got it wrong or we done missed something. And since all scripture is given by inspiration of God, I would argue that it ain't the writer of Hebrews, it's us. The world is not subject to angels. All that power, and yet the world is not their assignment. Oh, let it sink in, Veronica. All this power and the world is not their assignment. We are. Y'all didn't hear me over here. Carlos, all this power and the world is not the angel's assignment. We are. I'll talk to Freeman over here. All this power and the world is not their assignment. We are. We sending the angels out here. And the angels like, he did not subject to angels the world. You can pray all you want to. I bet you I ain't going over there. Because angels understand, I don't go where I'm not assigned. It's us that try to go into places we ain't supposed to be. Huh? Angels is like, hey, nope. It's not my assignment. And so, how do we fight then and conquer the things of the world? It should be a vital question that we ask. If that's not their assignment, then who whooping them? Because last I checked, it's crazy out here in these streets. How do we fight? How do we win, Vincent? What do we do? Well, let me give you just one singular point, and I got three sub points and two more scriptures, and I'm done. I got 1 point, three sub points, two more scriptures, and I'm through. Watch. I got 1 point, three sub points, two more scriptures. I'm out. Ready? Everybody got your pens warm. Come on, click it or ticket. Let's go. Right. Number one. Here's my one singular point. One, we must reclaim the truth of our assignment. Wait. If the world ain't their assignment, it's somebody's assignment. And I'm arguing, it's ours. I'll get there in a minute. I'll show you. We must, here's my point, Christina, I promise, 1 point, three sub points, two more scriptures, I'm out. I told Christina about it. I ain't gonna lie. We must reclaim the truth of our own assignment. One of the most effective strategies of the enemy, the very strategy that tripped up Adam and Eve in the garden, is to taint the instructions of the Father. In other words, to make your assignment fuzzy. Because if the devil can trip you up on your assignment, you'll spend your whole life not doing what you're assigned and therefore having no help. So you'll spend your whole life frustrated over why can't you get no help? Because your help is assigned to your assignment. And when you don't do what you're assigned to do, you don't get divine help.
And so if the devil can trip you up about your assignment, he can put you into an entire lifestyle that has no divine help, which now means you out there doing a bunch of stuff that you got to pay for. You got your own strength, your own mind, and you have no supernatural help to do these things. And you praying about stuff that God never assigned you, asking for things to come do stuff for you. And he like, you ain't even supposed to do that. So we must reclaim the truth of our own assignment. Let me go further into my singular point. Your assignment. Don't you be trying to do mine. Please don't try to do my assignment. I'm staying off your assignment. Listen, we got too many lane violations in the body of Christ. Y'all ain't never ran track. Come on now. You can run the best race in the world. It'd be like lane violation, disqualified. Stay in your lane. We got too many lane violations. You like what somebody else's assignment looks like. You like what they get to do. And next thing you know, you getting you some business cards printed. Get out of that lane. It'll kill you. It'll kill you. Please get out of that lane. Huh? You want to be in somebody else's lane because you think they booked and busy. Stay out of that lane. Now, what does that look like? What does it look like when the devil wants to taint the instructions or the assignment of the Father? Here are my subpoints. A. Y'all ready? Here's subpoint A. He taints who you are to God. This is all under my singular point. I only got one point today. He taints who you are to God. Excuse me? Instead of son and daughter, the devil will try you to make you feel like we're God's enemy. Let it settle. Instead of making us understand that we are sons of God, we're daughters, right? The devil will try to make you feel like we're God's enemy and he's out to get you. So we tip around the work in fear instead of walking around confidently in the house with triumph. Yeah. Yeah. So instead of you going, I'm a son of God, you like, ooh, he gonna get me. And so you tip instead of walk. That's some of us right now. Instead of you walking around like, I know who I am to God, you think that you're his enemy. That any given time, he gonna get you. He gonna get me. Oh my God, he gonna get me. Oh my God, he gonna get me. If I do this, he gonna get me. If I do that, he gonna get me. If I do this, he gonna get me. And now you do nothing. You're not doing your assignment because you think you're God's enemy instead of God's child. My children walk confidently around the house. Just walk around the house. When my son decides he's hungry, he just confidently walks down to the refrigerator and opens up the refrigerator, his old self, and goes in there and confidently pulls out what he wants. And when my daughter decides that she wants to make something new, she confidently goes into the kitchen and confidently pulls out every pan we own and confidently, confidently. That oldest child of mine don't even live at home. And she confidently comes over and confidently uses her key and confidently puts the key in the door. Because even when I'm, watch this, not at the house right now, I'm still a part of the house. Anytime I want to come, we didn't take her key. She's still a part of the house. So she has come home. And she don't come home, and she'll just come in the kitchen, open up the refrigerator. Sis, you don't live here. But she got a key. It's confidence. Instead, we get saved and forget. We got keys. You run around tipping. You got keys. You got keys to your peace. I will give you perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Key. Y'all. You got keys to your provision. If you give unto others, I'll give unto you. You got keys to your, come on now. You got to learn how to use your key. And the reason that some of us have this tainted view of who we are to God is because you're not walking your keys out. Fumbling. Knocking on doors you got keys to. Walking up to doors, bamming, screaming, throwing tantrum at doors that God's like, you got keys. Why in the world are you crying at a door when you got keys to the door? Why in the world are you asking for me to pray for you that the door be open instead of rebuke you for not using your keys? I don't want to be rebuked. That make me feel bad. It's your fault. You got a pocket full of keys. Matter of fact, some of y'all need to spend the rest of the day, huh? Get you a notebook out and start categorizing your keys. Some of y'all need to get you a good old legal pad out, like, all right, what is my key to peace? Let me write that down. What is my key to happiness? Because it wasn't what I was trying. None of them keys fit. Tried them all. Some of y'all tried the key of alcohol. It don't fit nothing but depression. You tried the keys of illicit relationship. You tried the keys of every manner of addiction. The only key that works is Jesus. So the devil will taint who you are to God. But here's the next one. The devil will taint. This is B, subpoint B. The devil will taint who God is to you. Oh, wait. So first, he will taint who I am to God. Instead of a son or daughter, I feel like an enemy. But then he will taint who God is to you. Instead of seeing God as a loving father who wants to spend time with you, huh? You see him as a bully, a dictator, an angry old man sitting in heaven, frustrated, looking to trip you up. That ain't scripture. He's a loving father. Come on, say he's a loving father. The devil will show you an angry overlord who can't wait to destroy you or things around you. But the scripture literally says, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the Bible. Stop allowing the world to confuse you about what God said already. He loves you. He loves you so much, he's going to get you together. He loves you so much, some stuff you just can't do. Uh-huh. He loves you so much, some doors, he like, I ain't giving you key to that door because that door will destroy you. He loves you. He loves you so much that you say yes and he says no. He loves you. He loves you so much that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for the ungodly. He loves you. He loves you despite you. He loves you even though you don't love him. He loves you. Glory to God, he does. He loved you when you didn't love you. Anybody ever been in a place you don't even love yourself? I don't love me. You look yourself in the mirror and don't like what you see. Come on now, he's like, I love it. I love it. And I'm going to keep showing you how much I love. I'm not mad. I'm not angry. This version of an angry God, this version of some angry, furious dictator sitting there trying to wait for you to trip up. No, he's a loving father. He's like the prodigal's father. Y'all ain't read the prodigal son? Come on now. The father was out there waiting on him to come home. And as soon as he saw him, the Bible says, y'all excuse me, afar off. Wait. I don't think they understand, Melita. You mean to tell me that I got a father who loves me so much that I left home nefariously and you outside waiting on me to come back? You waiting on me. That looked like him way out there. Prepare the tables. Get everything in order. And even if the other kids in the house don't like that you home, I got a father who will deal with my siblings. Huh? I don't know what version of God you done heard, but I serve a God who's waiting on people to come home. He ain't trying to keep people out. Come on here. He ain't trying to keep people out. He's trying to get people in. Yo. He's not trying to keep people out. He's not looking for you to mess up. He's not looking for you to trip. The Bible says, hey, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. He can keep me. He be like, look like you about to slip. I got you. What a mighty God we serve. So tainting who you are to God, that's point A. Tainting who God is to you, that's point B. But here's my third subpoint. He taints what we're responsible for. Excuse me. The Lord did not make us weak. The Lord did not make us weak. Third time. The Lord did not make us weak. The Lord did not place us in an impossible position. Come on, I'm going to keep hitting these myths dead in the mouth. The Lord didn't make you weak. The Lord didn't put you in an impossible position. The Lord didn't give you some enemy that is so strong you can't defeat him. Come on, get it in your mind. Come on now, stop thinking like the army and start thinking like David. They didn't hear me. I said, stop thinking like the army and start thinking like David. I'll say it one more time. David was like, why are y'all afraid of this Goliath? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? David was so confused. He's like, why are y'all sitting up here all stressed out over him? See, they were looking at what they saw and not realizing that guy, that Goliath, don't have a promise. We do. He's uncircumcised. He ain't been cut like you. What David was saying is, we bear the promise in our body. Y'all missed it. He ain't been cut like you. Somebody in here, you done been through it, so you can tell a Goliath, you ain't been cut like me. You ain't got no idea what I've been through. If I've endured that, I'm certainly not afraid of you. If I went through that, I can go through this. If that didn't kill me, this ain't gonna kill me either. If that didn't take me out, this ain't gonna take me out either. I am steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that my labor is not in vain in the Lord. I am not afraid of the arrow that may come by day, nor anything that might come by night, if God be for me. Who? I'm good. I'm good. For some of y'all in this room, it thought it had you. You better tell it wrong. I'm good. You ain't got me. You ain't got me. But what the devil wants to do is he wants to make you believe that you got some big enemy. You got no big enemy. He ain't got no big enemy. He ain't talking about nothing. Devil ain't talking about nothing. See, we got preachers afraid to even talk about stuff like this. They don't want to talk about it. Hold on, be careful. Be careful, he might try you. Try what? Try what? He defeated. He whooped. Huh? He got crushed. His head has already been bruised. Huh? He says, listen, if I be lifted up. Ooh, they should have left that man down there on that ground. They messed up. I'm telling y'all, they blew it. They blew it. If they would have left him down on the ground, they might have had a chance, Elder Lila, but they blew it. Because he says, listen, you gonna bruise his heel, but she gonna bruise your head. And as soon as they lifted that cross up, it was like all bets off. all bets off. So if angels don't subjugate the world, who does? We do. And right there, Deacon Sanders, somebody's like, oh no, careful, Pastor. We don't. No. Don't be telling us that we subjugate the world. I ain't told you that. The Bible does. Wow, you're going to have to prove it to me because I ain't never read it. Okay. Genesis chapter 1. Okay. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Put it up. I told y'all I had 1 point, 3 subpoints, 2 scriptures. I'm done. Here's Genesis 1, 26. Come on, put it up. Uh-oh, the scripture, it don't want to do right. Is it angry? It's mad? Come on, I am paper Bible saved. Come on, go to Genesis. They'll get it together. I'm going to throw that computer through the window. It don't do right. Genesis 1, we're going to start at verse 26. There it is. Then God said, you got all 3 verses? Okay, I'm going to go to 28. Just letting you know. God said, let us make man in our own image. Now watch this. I'm about to tell y'all something. You ready for this? Listen to what I'm about to say. It's all right. We're going to get them together. They experts in babies over there. Okay, now listen to me. God made us. Oh, she's upset. Y'all look at me. God made us in his image. Watch it. And then when we seem to get confused about our assignment, he sent himself in our image. Let's do it again. God made us in his image. And then when he was like, y'all done lost y'all mind and forgot what assignment I gave you, he messed around and sent himself in our image so that we could see how to act. Since we had lost our connectivity with our original assignment, he had to wrap himself to look like us so that we could get reacclimated with the assignment that he gave us in the garden. He was like, somebody done messed around and lied to y'all about what I made. So let me send me looking like you so you can see how you supposed to act like you. Oh, I love his word. Oh, go to verse 27. Oh, it's good. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28. This is the verse we don't read. God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the what? Wait. See, we always like verse 26, and we don't read verse 28. Fill the what? And subdue it, the earth, subjugate the earth, right there, rule over the fish, sea, birds, sky, every living thing that moves on the earth. I want you to be fruitful, multiply, and subjugate, subdue, create domain in the earth. It's yours. That's yours. I made it for you. My house is heaven. That's yours. So, the earth, subdue it. Now let me say something. Mankind was given the earth as our domain. Despite the fact that we have messed it up. Watch this. I ain't found nowhere in the scriptures where he changed our domain. I can't find it. I haven't found. Go look at the fall. Nowhere in the fall does it say, I'm taking your domain from you. He kicked him out the garden, but he didn't kick him out the earth. He didn't even take away his ability to eat. He just said it's going to have thorns and thistles. You'll still eat. You still have domain here. And watch this. If Jesus, I'm about to say something else. If Jesus is the last Adam, why are we living like we're still under the first one? Because if I am still under the thorn and thistle curse gave to the first Adam, are you telling me that the last Adam didn't do no good? If you think it's hard to eat, you don't believe in the cross. It's hard because somebody messed around and lied to you about your domain. And you believe them. Whose report? The world is not subject to angels. It's subject to us. I'll double down on it. This is my last verse. 1 point, three subpoints, two scriptures, I'm done. That was scripture one. Here's scripture two, Psalm 8. Oh, Lord, our Lord. How majestic is your name. That's a good verse, ain't it? In all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. Go back to verse 2. From the mouth of infants. Are we in the room? From the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you've established strength because of your adversaries. To make, leave this verse up, the enemy and the revengeful cease. I want y'all to look about how about it my God is. Watch this. He says, I'm so confident in my creation that I'm about to settle the whole thing with the babies. I don't even need the grown folks for this one. I can make the enemy and the revengeful cease with the children. No wonder they're attacking their schools. No wonder they're attacking their educational systems. No wonder they're attacking their curriculum. Because what the devil knows, if I can mess them up in their formative years, by the time they get old, they'll be so confused about their assignment. Somebody miss me in the spirit right there. They miss me in the spirit. They'll be so confused about their assignment. Y'all still didn't hear me in the spirit. They'll be confused about their assignment, about what I made them, about how they came into the world. They'll start identifying as something other than what they're assigned. And we will tell them they have a right to identify as a pronoun other than their assigned one. And if I can let them do that, I can also count on them not knowing that they are saved, sanctified, filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Because if I let them pick the assignment they want, then they'll deny the assignment from God. Y'all get mad at me if you want to. Listen, go ahead, cancel me. But I'm going to tell y'all what I know. What Jesus made is best, and what we decide will get us in a mess. I don't want to be that. That's cool. Go on out there in your own strength if you feel like it. But last time I checked, he got infants and nursing babies that he's trying to silence enemies and revengeful people with. And you won't even spend no time with them, parents. You're allowing them to get educated with cartoons. If your children get confused when they see you praying at home, It done got quiet in the house. See, y'all was good with me a few minutes ago. I am not afraid. Come on now. If your children see your hands lifted up and they think you sick, if they see you down, prostrate before the Lord praying and they want to call 911, that means that you have a hypocritical environment here, not there, because your house is the truth and here is your performance. Your children ought to say, oh, mama praying. Oh, that's dad just seeking the Lord. Oh, no, we used to that. Come on now. This is the way my dad does all the time. Oh, that's the way my mother does all the time. Come on in here. They shouldn't be confused. Some of you won't even pray in the spirit because you think you sound funny with your children. Oh, and I got quiet again. I still ain't afraid. They should not be come on now. When your babies get sick, you should be praying over them. Maybe the reason that the enemies are loud in your life is because you're silencing the kid that could silence them. You telling the baby to be quiet when the baby is tapped in their purity to something that you're not tapped into. You like, hush, watch TV. I don't want to hear you right now. You better listen. Because the stuff coming out of your mouth is tainted by your history. They have a purity. And you're sitting there allowing them to be tainted. Verse 3. Y'all messing with me today. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained. What is man? There's the quote. That you take the... Who am I that you take thought of me? Come on now. You thinking about me. That should make y'all shout right there. Lord, you thinking about me. I'm on your mind. I'm on your mind. I ain't out here by myself. I'm on your mind. All the stuff you could be thinking about, you thinking about me. Thank you, Lord. You could be busy over there in Ukraine somewhere, but you thinking about me. You so big that you got Ukraine and me. You could be over there trying to deal with Netanyahu, but you dealing with Netanyahu and me. Come on now, you could be over there in Russia dealing with Vladimir and them, but you got Vladimir and me. Come on now, you could be over there in Haiti trying to figure out what's going on with that coup, but you got Haiti and me. You could be over in New York dealing with that earthquake that just hit that wasn't supposed to hit, but you in New York and you here dealing with me. And you ain't only dealing with me, you dealing with my children. And you're dealing with the things that I ain't even seen yet. You dealing with the things that I ain't even heard yet. You're dealing with me. You not only at this church, you at the other church dealing with me. You going ahead of me. You not just right here now, you in my future. You're not only in my future, you're in my history. You dealing with me. You ain't forgot about me. You ain't overlooking me. He not just in my future because I'm a preacher. He in your future. He's in your children's future. He's in your children's future. He loves you. Hallelujah. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. I heard the song say, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Hallelujah. You love me. You know why that's so good? Because some of us in this room have gotten all messed up in your head over people who don't love you. They don't like me no more. They done cut me off. They not my friend. We used to be so cool. We used to be so close. I don't know what happened. I want to restore that. Look, you love me. And if you know everything about me and love me, and they think they know some things about me and don't. God, you know everything. And you love me. Whew. Verse 5. You made him a little lower than God. You crowned him with glory and majesty. Look at verse 6. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet. Verse 7, come on. All sheep and oxen, all the beasts of the field. Verse 8, the birds of heaven, the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the seas. Oh, Lord, this is it. Our Lord. Our Lord, how majestic. Yes, Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You better get your assignment back right. All things are under his feet. Everywhere where his name is. And if I'm a carrier of his name, everywhere the soles of my foot trod. Oh, I want to run. I need your hands lifted. For those who are saying, listen, I'm done operating in worry. I'm done operating in fear. I'm done operating in disbelief. Lord, I thank you and I honor you. You're good. Thank you for making all things subject. Now, God, allow us to believe this report. And if there's anybody in this place that doesn't believe it, strengthen them for that good work. I thank you that we don't want to be just hearers, but we want to be doers of the word so we don't deceive ourselves. And then, God, allow us to be your body, fitly joined together and fit for the master's use. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Clap your hands. Come on, give God honor. Come on, give him glory.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.